Good afternoon. Welcome in to another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM FM 95.9. Again, plenty to discuss here today. We'll be talking a lot of NBA on the show today as we've got to talk about what happened in Atlanta last night. The Timberwolves with one of their worst performances of the season against the worst team in the Eastern Conference. So we'll talk about that. The trade that went down in the NBA between the Pistons and the Clippers, we'll talk about that. Plus, a failed attempt by the New Orleans Pelicans to keep pace in the Western Conference. So we'll talk about that as well. All of that to get to here on today's show. So why don't we get right to it with a start by looking at our top sports headlines. Taking a look at our top sports headlines for today. Jeff Teague had a regrettable performance against the Atlanta Hawks, his former team, last night as the Timberwolves lost to the worst team in the Eastern Conference. And it was in similar fashion to how Michigan had their season come to an end with Chris Webber calling a timeout that Michigan didn't have. Teague did that last night. He shot poorly, had some just awful passes he tried to complete to teammates, and nonetheless, the Wolves lose 105 to 100 to the Atlanta Hawks, and this pattern continues of just awful losses to Eastern Conference teams on the road, and I don't know what we do about it. Because after a while, you figure that you maybe have a bad game here or there. But other than that, I mean, this is now multiple games where this has happened. So I don't know what the Timberwolves do to try to fix it, but we will we'll talk about it on the show here today. The Detroit Pistons acquiring all-star Blake Griffin from the Los Angeles Clippers in a move that clearly signals the Clippers are going to be trying to transition to a new era in their franchise, but also signals that Detroit wants to try to get back into the playoff race with now pretty devastating 1-2 combo of Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. So some reaction to that trade as well here on the show today. Plus, the Minnesota Wild will start off the second half of the season after the All-Star break finished up. They are on the road against Columbus tonight, trying to start the second half off with a flourish. The Gopher men's basketball team is at Iowa tonight, trying to keep their season alive. 14-9 now on the season are the Gophers, and Iowa comes in at 11-12. And another potential trade that almost happened, but then seemingly just as quickly fell through between the Pelicans and the Bulls. We will talk about that as well on the show here today. So all of that coming up, those are your top sports headlines today. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll start off with what went wrong last night against Atlanta. That is on the way after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, the Timberwolves trying to take care of a team that on paper they should have been able to beat quite handily last night in the Atlanta Hawks. However, that's why they play the games and they don't just go by what's on paper. Kent Bazemore scored 22 points as the Hawks beat the Timberwolves 105-100. Now, Jeff Teague had a fascinating game. He was 1 of 12 from the field, had 10 assists, 4 steals, a block, 2 turnovers, committed 4 fouls. He was plus 5 in that, in all of that, which is frankly astounding. Now, that doesn't mean that he was able to avenge that stat line per se, because late in the game we had some things like this happen. So the Wolves were trailing by a score of 99-98. Jeff Teague makes a steal and tries to drive the other way get the what would have been the go-ahead layup. But he has it blocked, and I don't know exactly how Bazemore was able to track him down, but nonetheless had a layup blocked, down by one. But Jimmy Butler gets an offensive rebound. Then the Timberwolves turn it over. And that leads to a Bazemore layup to make it 101-98. And we continue. Taj Gibson makes a 2-point shot later to make it 101-100, but misses the free throw, misses the and one that would have tied the score. Jeff Teague with a bad pass. I really don't know where he was looking on the pass, and it ends up being a turnover. The Hawks, though, do miss a layup with 16 seconds left in the game. So Taj gets the rebound. Jeff Teague tries to take a timeout. Timberwolves do not have any timeouts, and Teague ends up committing a 5-second violation, which basically ices the game. The Hawks make a couple of free throws to ice things 105-100. But the reason I bring this up is that you see where the Timberwolves are at right now, and obviously the fan base in general was frustrated by what happened during that game last night, because you come in to the game, the Hawks are 21 games under 500, 14-35. They're 10-15 at home, and yet they end up coming away with the win. The Wolves, you know, they didn't play too poorly defensively. The Hawks did make 13 threes, which was 6 more than the Wolves. But, I mean, 21 turnovers for Atlanta in the game. Timberwolves committed just 13. So it comes down to being ready to play on every given night against your opponents. And just going through the schedule of games that this has happened, that game early on, October 24th, against Indiana. Now, they didn't have Jimmy Butler, and Indiana is five games over 500, but there's no way you should lose that game by a score of by 23 points. Then the next game. Now, against the Pistons, that is, I think, a little bit more forgivable because the Pistons, while four games under 500, they've been a really tough matchup for the Wolves. But then another example, the game against Phoenix on the 11th at Phoenix, and they lose by a score of 118 to 110. Phoenix is 17-34 on the season, so they're way out of it. So you lose that game. Then you lose on the 20th of November to Charlotte, who is, they're not as far out of it, 20-29, but they're still pretty out of it. So you lose that game. Washington, who just lost John Wall for a very extended period of time, they were playing good basketball, though. But one of the other big ones is Memphis. Memphis had just fired their head coach, David Fizdale. Memphis is currently 18-31, and it's like this Wolves team thinks that they can go into an arena on any given night and that they're going to be able to beat the team that they're going up against. The game against the Brooklyn Nets, 98-97 on the road, is a perfect example. The Wolves came in, they were just completely flat, and the Nets hit 14 threes, turned the ball over 19 times, and the Wolves still found a way to lose that game. Now, Jeff Teague was injured at that point. He didn't play, but I'm willing to give a guy a pass if they have a rough shooting night, but the thing that you have to find different ways to help out your team, and Teague had the 10 assists. He had four steals, so he was getting it done in other ways, but just awful turnovers at the absolute worst time that they can happen. And Teague this month is going through a little bit of a struggle. He's averaging just 12 points, and in fact, that's pretty much been his monthly average. He's averaging 12 points, 21% from three, and 35% from the field overall. But that was the thing with Ricky Rubio when he was here, that if Ricky was not shooting well, he'd find ways to get other people involved and would play great defense regardless of what was going on with his offense. And it just seems like with Teague, if he is not having a good night offensively, then everything else kind of gets magnified too. And he had the couple of bad turnovers at the end of the game last night that really ended up costing the team the win, a win that they really could use, because now you look at the standings and the Timberwolves are in fourth. They are a half game up on Oklahoma City for fifth. And I know they've beaten Oklahoma City three out of four times this year, but if the playoffs started today, the Wolves would host the Thunder in their first round playoff series. But if the Wolves end up, or if the Thunder end up winning tonight, and if the Wolves lose to Toronto, well, then the Thunder end up hosting. And I think it's pretty evident that this team is night and day difference at home as opposed to on the road. And the Thunder have won 8 in a row. Wolves are just 12-15 on the road. So I don't know what you do about it. But it gets to the point where you just have to, show up ready to play every day. You can't have these games where it's like, well, you know, if we don't end up getting the win, we'll keep it close, and that is, if we don't end up getting the win, so be it. Well, you can't really afford to do that anymore because you've had too many of those games here so far this season. So there's, I'm not going to push the panic button or anything because, I mean, they're still 32-21, but that's a game that you would like to see the Wolves get the win. That's a game that Wolves teams in previous seasons have definitely lost, and we kind of thought that we were over this with the Timberwolves, but it does not appear as though we are. So just got to work through it. Toronto on the schedule tonight. That will be a very tough matchup. Toronto 18-4 at home, and they have been in their last handful of games. Now, they lost to the Wolves 115-109 at the Target Center. It was a lot of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan and a whole lot of nothing else. Lowry had 40 points. DeRozan had 20. But other than that, only two players in double figures. That included Serge Ibaka and also Delonte Wright. So they're gonna have to bring everything that they've got, and I mean, maybe off of that performance last night, they'll be a little more inspired to come away with a win. But it's gonna be awfully tough. We could be looking tomorrow at a fifth place team, fifth in the West, depending on how things play out here tonight. So hopefully they win, but I guess we'll wait and see how things play out. We're going to continue the NBA discussion. Got to recap a big move in the NBA from yesterday. We will do that, plus much more when we come back.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Missed today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
Back here on The Scoop, while the Timberwolves continue to stay near the top of the Western Conference standings, a couple of teams have signaled that they may be taking a step back, and one of those being the Los Angeles Clippers, who made the bombshell announcement last night that they have traded all-star power forward Blake Griffin to the Detroit Pistons for a package of both prospects and also some draft picks. So it seems interesting. There's been a lot of rumblings around the Clippers that not all was well in Los Angeles, and it seemed as though maybe the Clippers were going to try to get things righted and try to make a big run, but nonetheless, that is out the window, as the package that was sent to the Clippers includes, like I said, it's headlined by shooting guard, and I have now forgotten his name. I'll pull it up here. The youngest player that will be part of this package, And certainly a promising player. Power forward Tobias Harris, also shooting guard Avery Bradley, who was put on the block earlier in the season by the Pistons. So they were pretty set that they were going to get rid of him, plus a couple of draft picks as well. The Clippers send a couple of players to the Pistons also. So they get some good pieces back, but obviously getting rid of Blake Griffin is certainly not easy to part with if you're the Clippers. The full deal includes Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban Marjanovic, a first-round and second-round draft pick. The Clippers are sending Bryce Johnson and Willie Reed to Detroit along with Griffin. And you look at what Blake Griffin has done throughout his career. Obviously, if I am Andre Drummond, I'm thrilled. You're getting a guy who has made some very sound adjustments in his time in the league. Started off back in 2010. He averaged 22 points and 12 rebounds a year, shooting 50% from the field, 29% from three-point range. Then in 2011, appeared in just 66 games, all starts, 20 points, 10 rebounds per game, 54% from the field, but just 12% from three. So he was always a big, but never really one that could shoot the three. That will start to change, though. 2012-2013, played in 80 games, 18 points, and 8 rebounds per game, shot 53% from the field. So a little bit of a dip in numbers. But then we go to 2013-2014. He averaged 24 points, 9 rebounds per game, 52% from the field, 27% from three. 2014-2015, 67 games, averaged 21 points, 7 rebounds per game, shot 50% from the field. Just 35 games in 2015-2016, but averaged 21 points, 8 rebounds. Then 61 games last year, 21 points, 8 rebounds, shot 49% from the field, but 33% from three. And he has done that at least 33% every year since 2014-2015. So that has become a big part of his game, trying to be more of a ranged shooter. But you look at the durability as has played in 80 or more games three times in entering now his eighth season in the league. And that is a big concern for the Pistons. It's a huge gamble, but you look at what they had. They didn't really have much to go around from Andre Drummond. And now they get a guy who can certainly coexist. I did find it interesting. There was a lot of reaction to this yesterday. People wondering if Griffin was going to be able to play next to Andre Drummond. But they forgot that he had been playing next to DeAndre Jordan all this time. So I don't think that is as big of a concern. I think the concern will come from where the Pistons get more of their scoring from on the perimeter. Because now you look at what Detroit has for depth at the wing after that trade. They've got guys such as Reggie Jackson. He'll be their starting point guard. But then you've got names like Langston Galloway. You've got Reggie Bullock. Other guys include Stanley Johnson, Luke Kennard, and Ish Smith. So the wing depth for them could become a problem. But it makes sense to make this move with the Pistons 22 and 26. They are the next team up. So they're the ninth seed right now in the Eastern Conference. And other than, say, Boston, Toronto, Cleveland, maybe Miami, there's really not a whole lot set in that Eastern Conference. You got Milwaukee and Washington, both at 27 and 22. But Washington has been taking on some water, and they just lost John Wall. So Washington could theoretically fall out of the playoff picture, as could, say, the Indiana Pacers, in which case then the Pistons would be the team that seems likeliest to leapfrog them in the standings. Other teams in the Eastern Conference, I don't think there's going to be really anybody else who could make a big move. The Knicks, 22 and 28. Charlotte, 20 and 29. The Bulls and the Nets, both 18 and 32. Then Atlanta, 15 and 35. And the Magic, 14 and 32. So I think the Pistons realize that this is probably their opportunity to jump into the playoffs. And we've seen it work. Albeit with maybe not as much success as was initially thought, with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. So the two big system can certainly work, with Drummond as much of a rebounder as he is, that's going to allow Griffin to focus more on scoring, which I think will allow them to be a very effective 1-2 combo with the Pistons. You look at how this affects things for the Clippers. Clippers were on the outside looking in, 25 and 24. And so it's not necessarily a rebuild. It's just a step back and let's try to go at this a different way. It was very likely if the Clippers did get in that they would end up being probably that eighth seed and then would have to play Golden State. And I don't think there's really any way that they would be able to get past Golden State. So it makes sense. They get a good player back in Tobias Harris, and they can maybe even try to flip Avery Bradley in the offseason. And we'll see how that plays out. But a lot of ripples in the Western Conference here over the past couple of days with the DeMarcus Cousins injury and now with the Blake Griffin trade. It's certainly looking like the Pelicans are on shaky ground at that sixth seed in the West, but the Clippers don't appear to be the one who will jump up and give them any fight. So those of us who were looking forward to a Clippers-Rockets series in the first round of the playoffs, probably not going to get what we were hoping for. So we'll have to find the next compelling matchup there in those playoffs. There was almost another trade that went down last night. The Pelicans were trying to help make up for the loss of DeMarcus Cousins. They were on the verge of acquiring forward Nikola Mirotic from the Bulls, but they weren't able to complete the trade because Mirotic is awaiting his $12.5 million team option for the 2018-2019 season to be exercised. The Bulls were going to receive a package that included Omer Asik and a future first-round pick to Chicago, but Mirotic has to wait and would have to approve any deal that didn't include a guarantee on his 2018-2019 salary. So they will wait for now, but maybe this is one that gets reopened closer to the trade deadline. I would expect to see quite a few moves made during that time, but at this point, a trade, and then a trade that almost was here on The Scoop to discuss. So we'll keep you posted if there's any more NBA news that happens in the next couple of weeks. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, a little bit of a look at some other things going on here the rest of the week. That is on the way after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Back here on The Scoop, and it's been a little while since we've talked Wild hockey, so why don't we look at what is yet to come here in the second half, quote-unquote, for the Minnesota Wild. They start that off tonight by taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets, and both teams with the exact same number of points. The Wild, in their last game, lost 6-3 to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Currently 26-18-5. They've got 57 points, and wild card in the Western Conference is pretty tight. Dallas currently has the top wild card spot at 28-18-4 with 60 points. Colorado is just behind them also with 57 points, 27-18-3. So a win for the Wild could vault them into the playoff picture if they are able to beat the Blue Jackets, who come in 29th in the NHL in goals per game at 2.6. They're 12th in goals against, though, at 2.7. Their power play percentage is 31st at 13.7%. Penalty kill percentage is at 26, that's 77.5%. Wild's numbers are more middle of the pack. 16th overall in goals per game at 2.9. 16th in goals against at 2.8. Power play is at 16th at 19.9%. Penalty kills 11th at 82.3%. So this could be one of those games that comes down to which team capitalizes off of power play opportunities. And I would have to say that I like the Wild's chances to come away with the win here tonight. Now, in the net for the Blue Jackets, we'll see who gets the nod, but they've had some very tough goalies. Sergei Bobrovsky, 22-15-3. And he will start tonight against the Wild. Bobrovsky is playing some pretty good hockey over the last couple of weeks, although he is currently 4-4 here in the month of January. Save percentage of just .929, but 38 saves and 39 shots. In a 2-1 win over Arizona on Thursday the 25th. So coming off of a strong performance, but before that, gave up 5 goals to the Vegas Golden Knights and then 4 goals to Vancouver in his last 2 starts. So for the Wilds, they maybe can get some opportunities to take advantage of Bobrovsky here this evening. And for the Wild, Devan Dubnyk has been playing a little bit better here as of late. We'll see if he can shake off that 4 goals allowed performance against Pittsburgh on Thursday. So it should be a good one tonight. We'll take a look, though, at what's on deck later in the show as we wrap things up. But just looking at some other headlines here as we move throughout the week. Haven't really talked a lot about the Super Bowl as Media Row going on at the Mall of America right now. I've tried to shy away from it because I'm sure you can get plenty of Super Bowl coverage everywhere else. But just looking at some initial thoughts on the matchup between the Patriots and the Eagles, and looking at what both teams will need to do in order to come away with the win. The Patriots are being favored in this game by 4 points, so Eagles fans can go with the underdog mentality once again if they so choose. We saw what happened to the Vikings in that game against the Eagles in the NFC title game. A lot of pressure put on by that dominant Eagles defensive line, but you look at how Tom Brady has done throughout his career, and he is a much better quarterback when facing pressure. And you look at, there are so many different numbers that are impressive to look at about Brady here this season, but I look at some of these numbers in particular. Brady, in the last 2 minutes of the half this season, was 39 of 61, which is 63.9% of his passes, for 526 yards, which is an average of 8.6, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, and his quarterback rating 118.6. Also, in the fourth quarter, leading or trailing by 7 points, Brady is 26 of 41 for 341 yards and 3 touchdowns. His completion percentage there, 63.4%, and his average yard per attempt is 8.32. So we saw it last year on full display with the Patriots down big in the Super Bowl, and they come roaring back. Brady had his hands all over that. You can't count him out really at any moment until the clock strikes zero. And even then, you kind of wonder, hey, did we really make this happen? But the Eagles are going to have their hands full because not only does Brady have the ability to hit receivers under pressure, but also a lot of targets to go to. And that includes several great receivers. You look at the names, the likes of Brandon Crooks, also Danny Amendola, Chris Hogan, but also all those running backs, Deion Lewis, James White, Rex Burkhead. We can't forget about Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, another target that he can go to. So all these names and all these different ways that Brady can go with the ball is what's going to, I think, be the toughest for the Eagles. They can send pressure all they would like, and if they can get pressure with just their starting front four, that's going to make it a little easier to handle. But if they are attempting to blitz Tom Brady, well, good luck, because he's going to make you pay in a lot of different ways. Arguably the most decorated quarterback in NFL history. So that's one of the matchups I'm looking forward to most, is how Tom Brady does against the Eagles defense. And there are plenty of others to take a look at as well, and we'll do that later on in the week. But I wanted to just get a little bit of kind of a sampler platter of what to expect in that big Super Bowl matchup this weekend on Sunday. So plenty more of that coming up the next 3 days, including a full look later on in the week. But that's just a little teaser for now of kind of what I'm looking forward to during the game. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll look at what's on deck. That's coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Hey.
For the latest scores, play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Let's take a look at what's on deck for tonight, starting off in the NBA. Oklahoma City is at Washington at 6 o'clock tonight. Brooklyn at the New York Knicks at 6:30. Minnesota Timberwolves at Toronto at 6:30 tonight. Cleveland at Detroit at 7 o'clock. Orlando at Houston at 7. Sacramento's at New Orleans at 7. Denver at San Antonio at 7:30. Golden State is at Utah at 8 o'clock. Portland at the LA Clippers at 9:30. NHL schedule, full slate tonight. Anaheim at Boston at 7 Eastern, New Jersey at Buffalo, Florida at the New York Islanders, San Jose at Pittsburgh, Ottawa at Carolina, and the Minnesota Wild at Columbus, all at 7 Eastern. Montreal at St. Louis, Chicago at Nashville, Tampa Bay at Winnipeg, all at 8 Eastern. Los Angeles at Dallas at 8:30 Eastern, Vegas at Calgary at 9 Eastern, and Colorado at Vancouver at 10 Eastern. Men's college basketball, Big Ten for tonight's Indiana at number 17, Ohio State. That's at 6 o'clock. Rutgers at Illinois at 6 o'clock. And the Minnesota Golden Gophers are at Iowa. That is at 8 o'clock as well. That is a look at what's on deck. Time to wrap it up. That does it for today's edition of The Scoop. We'll be joined tomorrow by John Folkey to talk about what happened in that game against Atlanta, plus plenty more. Another edition of The Scoop comes your way tomorrow at 3:05. Until then, have a great afternoon.
KLGR 1490 AM and 95.9 FM is radio you can depend on. KLGR Redwood Falls, K240 DJ Redwood Falls. Streaming online at myklgr.com and the TuneIn Radio app.